I woke up bright and early just for the Medicare for the Lazy Man podcast. The Medicare podcast with some assembly required. And now, locally sourced and completely organic, it's Medicare expert Doug Jones.
Well, hello again, ladies and gentlemen. It is the Medicare for the Lazy Man podcast. You just heard my Canadian nephew announce the arrival of this latest episode, the Medicare for the Lazy Man podcast, and I couldn't be happier to have you with us. This is episode 230, kind of a milestone. We're sneaking up on 250, and pretty soon we'll be podcasting from the grave, because I'm not getting any younger. Anyway, the lazy man in our title is really anybody who is approaching Medicare. They understand that they have some decisions to make. They may be a little concerned about how to go about making those decisions, and they may appreciate some professional advice. Well, I am a professional. I'm an insurance agent, and I am ready to assist anybody who would like some advice and who would like to actually purchase a Medicare supplement or a drug plan in order to round out their Medicare protection program. And once those products are in place, they can stop thinking about Medicare for a long, long period of time, maybe forever. That's the way I like to tell people about it. In fact, there's a shorter way to do it. And I think if we quietly sit here with our hands folded, Randy Carson will play our radio spot for 30 seconds that explains what we're doing here.
Medicare is complicated. Medicare can be confusing. Medicare is no fun to study. Will you know what decisions to make when Medicare time arrives for you? My name is Doug Jones, and I wrote a book to help you figure it all out. Medicare for the Lazy Man. It's on sale at Amazon and BarnesandNoble.com. Also, you can download and listen to my podcast, Medicare for the Lazy Man, wherever fine podcasts are given away free of charge. Medicare for the Lazy Man, simplest and easiest guide ever.
Thank you, Randy. Obviously, the bright, cheery music and the succinctly expressed thoughts are probably the best indicator of why we're here and how we can be of assistance to people. So, Randy, how are things going for you today?
I just wanted to apologize, Doug. I was a little bit late getting to the studio this morning. I was out back. I'm working on my ARC. It's coming right along, but we've had so much rain out here. I know it's all good stuff, but it doesn't soak in. So an inch of rain ends up being pretty, pretty wild out there in the street.
Well, I would not have had any idea what you're talking about, except this morning earlier today. I'm on the board of directors at our HOA, and nothing ever happens when I'm there. But the minute I leave town for the summer, all of a sudden I get messages from people that are unhappy and, hey, I need a new key fob to get into the swimming pool and blah, blah, blah. So today I got a photograph of a mud puddle, a big flood in our neighborhood. And somebody's saying that there's some malfunctioning drain or something like that. There's flood control measures have ceased to work properly. What does he expect me to do about it? I'm 2,000 miles away.
Well, he just wanted to, irritate you and make you believe that, they were going to expect you to do something and just to irritate and ruin your day. That's all that happens.
He's normally a very likable guy, but frankly, I've got to find somebody else for him to irritate because it really cuts into the cheerfulness of my podcast presentation.
Well, I tell you, we've been getting so much rain out here that we had to take our backwash, for our pool.
Yep.
And we had to start the backwash into the wash. What the wash is. That's Arizona speak there. But anyway, I had to start backwashing the pool, which pumps water backwards out through the filters into the wash because my pool was about ready to overflow. We were getting so much rain.
Which means you got to throw a lot of extra chlorine and stuff in it too, right?
Yeah, because then pretty soon, as you know, well, all that fresh water turns green.
Yes, it does, if you're not careful. Absolutely. Yeah, I used to have a 75,000-gallon swimming pool. My parents owned it, and I took care of it. And boy, I went through sodium bisulfate by the 100-pound barrels. And chlorine, I would probably go through 100 pounds a summer, powdered chlorine. But I thoroughly enjoyed it, and I grew to dearly love the smell of chlorine. Now, all these people that have these pools that are salt water instead of chlorinated because they think it's so much healthier. I hate that. I love chlorine. I want more chlorine in the world.
If
if people didn't have chlorine, there'd be germs the size of cockroaches walking around.
Sniff. They would actually have little floaties, you know, in your pool.
They'd be doing the backstroke and you'd be standing out there getting them fresh drinks every time they stamp their little cockroach fingers. I got to tell you, chlorine is a blessing for the human race.
I know. I get it. The only downside, now, I'm not one of these people that has this problem, but if you are a person that has dyed blonde hair.
Yeah. I know chlorine, a little bit.
I'm told that chlorine turns it green.
Well, I can attest to that to some degree. When the bottle blonde that happens to live with me begins to complain about her hair turning green, another adjective she uses is it getting sticky. And
is it getting sticky?
Yeah, it's generally the fault of the water softener. Not functioning properly, not recharging soon enough or something. I don't know. But every once in a while, I hear that complaint. And I try to tell her, hey, just go out and buy some more of that bleach that you use on it. And that's never a good answer. That's not what she wants to hear.
Well, you know, out here, the water is so hard unless you have a water softener.
Oh, yeah.
You can literally carry it into the house in a brick. You know, you just cut some off.
Right. Well, I told you about my parents building a house in 1959 to 1961. The reason it took 2 years was because they got the well driller out there and he drilled down. It was going to be like 200 to 250 feet and in that area. And a lot of people needed water softening, water treatment, filtering and so forth, because that water had a lot of chemicals or not chemicals, but a lot of minerals in it. And the well driller was standing out there all winter long. Every time we go over there, the guy's standing next to the truck, freezing to death.
Still drilling.
when he hit water, it was 698 feet deep.
Holy bananas.
And it was the purest water anybody's ever seen. They sent it to the state to be tested. The state said, you don't need to do anything to this water. We pass it around the office and everybody enjoyed having a sip of it because it tasted so good. And that's the way it was. We lived in that house for about 12 years and never had a water softener, never had any mineral buildup on any fixtures. It was wonderful. I used to go outside just to drink out of the garden hose because that little added flavor was, you know, just kind of a nice little pleasant way to get a drink.
Yeah. Every kid in the world drank out of a garden hose. But, you know, the mothers nowadays, if they saw their kid drinking out of a garden hose, they'd take them to the emergency room.
I did it one time as a married man. My wife screamed, what are you doing?
Drinking out of the garden hose. What's it look like?
No, I looked at her like, what are you, crazy? This is the best tasting water there is. All righty. Let's do
some suppose we ought to do some. I suppose we ought to do some, huh, Doug?
So here's what happens every year. In order to be able to sell prescription drug plans, I have to certify. I have to pass certification. It's the government's way of weeding out the wheat from the chaff, getting rid of the senile older agents. And it's really ridiculous because they've got a stranglehold on Medicare Advantage plans. And they require that anybody who wants to sell Medicare Advantage plans plus prescription drug plans must certify. And that involves taking a federal examination and getting 90% on it. And then for each company that you want to represent, you've got to take a series of courses and examinations, and you have to hit a certain minimum score on those examinations. So I do that every summer. I get back in Illinois from Arizona. I tell my wife not to bother me for a week or two, and I start doing all of the studying and examination taking so that I can represent the companies that I thoroughly enjoy representing during the rest of the year. And if you don't do this process, if you don't study all this stuff, pass the tests and jump through all the other hoops in order to get certified, then they will take away your renewal commissions from prior sales. And all of a sudden they'll give them to, they'll just keep them, which is kind of what I guess they're hoping, but they pretend to want me to pass all the exams. So I do all this studying. So this year I did the same thing, same routine, even though I never will sell a Medicare Advantage plan because I believe they're inferior and they're not a good deal for my clients. I still certify every year, jump through all the hoops so that I know what's going on. Nobody can ever accuse me of being too lazy to get certified. And that's why I prefer Medicare supplement plans for my clients. I do all the work necessary to sell all of these products just so I know what's going on and I can continue to have my Canadian nephew call me a Medicare expert like he does at the beginning of every episode of this podcast. So I accumulated a whole bunch of paper. Basically, these are photographs I took of various screens in my coursework, and I printed them out. And now I've got all this darn paper. Once I pass the exams, I don't want to see this stuff anymore. But I couldn't bring myself to throw it away. So I thought, I wonder if I can turn this into moderately interesting podcast content. So I'm going to give it a try here and see. I've taken pictures of various screens that have bullet points on them. And I would love to turn this into a contest so that Randy can participate. But I think at some point we're going to realize that the people who make up these examinations are absolutely ridiculous. And even Randy's going to get disgusted and fling his headphones down and stomp out of the room. So rather than have that happen, I'm just going to read off some of this stuff and see if it's even moderately entertaining. So they're not really related to each other here. The rules that apply to all communication and marketing materials for agents that are going to sell these products. These are rules. The plans and their marketing representatives, that would be me as the agent. I am not allowed to, A, mislead, confuse, or provide materially inaccurate information to beneficiaries. Now, when they use the term beneficiaries, that's normally somebody who's on welfare. But in this case, the word beneficiary means a Medicare participant. So that's all of us that are 65 or older and have ceased working for companies that provide our Medicare insurance, our medical insurance. So another thing that we're not supposed to do, we're not supposed to target enrollees based on income levels, except in the case of people who are eligible for both welfare and regular Medicare. Those are called dual eligible SNPs. Sounds pretty snippy, doesn't it? You're not supposed to target people based on their income. So in the examples they try to use, they tell you, hey, go to various neighborhoods, nice neighborhoods and crappy neighborhoods, and go try to sell some stuff to the poor people. Well, I got to tell you, that's a tough sell. You're not supposed to target enrollees based on their health status, except in the case of people who are sick enough to need chronic care SNPs. Now, chronic care would be like people that are on dialysis and stuff like that, people with chronic medical conditions. It's okay to target those enrollees based on their health status, but you can't target other people based on their health status. In fact, you're not supposed to ask about their health status, except you can say, well, do you have any of these really horrible diseases? Because if so, I can help you out. And then also, you're not supposed to state or imply that the plans are only available to seniors, another word I really hate, rather than all eligible Medicare beneficiaries, for example, younger disabled individuals. This is completely insane, but this is the kind of crap that they test us on. And if you don't pass the test, you don't get certified, and then I can't help my clients get the drug plans that they need. So I cannot state or imply that these plans are only available to old people. And I have to be very cognizant of the fact that other people are eligible for Medicare, like people who are Medicare or Social Security income, they're, what does it say here? They are disabled. Yes. I want to use the word crippled, but I'm not going to. So then here's another screen that I had to plow through and sort of memorize. Marketing representatives, that would be me, are prohibited from making unsolicited contact with beneficiaries, that would be you, through, including through a door-to-door solicitation, including leaving leaflets, flyers, or door hangers at a residence or someone's car. You're not allowed to do door-to-door solicitation. Even if you're not knocking on the doors, you might just be leaving a piece of paper, offering them the opportunity to get in touch with you. You're not allowed to do that. You cannot approach beneficiaries in common areas such as parking lots, hallways, lobbies, or sidewalks. These are the people that come to Randy's house and prowl around outside hoping that somebody...
So they're breaking the law by prowling around in my cul-de-sac?
Yes, if you turn them in, they would probably have their certifications yanked and they might go away.
I mean, they look like a bunch of zombies out there just constantly circling, wondering if anybody's going to jump out there and talk to them.
I'll see if I can't find a phone number for you to call. They're out there again. Well, sir, is it the same batch or is it a new batch of them? Wait. I think I recognize one of them.
Well, so which are they? They're cruising through my neighborhood. I wonder if they're coming here because it's a bad neighborhood or a good neighborhood.
I think yours would be qualified as a good neighborhood, but they're not supposed to do that without going to some bad neighborhoods too. So their lifespans might be limited if they're on the right.
Oh man, I'm telling you, this is this actually, you can't even make this crap up.
The government does. This is what we pay, this is what we pay our government functionaries to do. Well, we got to give them a test. Let's make up a bunch of bogus rules and then see if they can remember long enough to get through the test.
Oh my God. I can't believe they test you guys on this.
Oh, I haven't even gotten through page two yet. People like me are not allowed to make telephone calls to people. We can't just sit there and dial the phone, but yet you know that's the kind of thing that goes on out there. I get phone calls all the time. They're recordings that say that they're calling from the Medicare help card or something like that on a recorded line. How are you today? And of course, your first reaction is to say, I'm horrible. What do you want? But then I realize it's a recording, and it's a very sophisticated recording too. It sounds like some beautiful babe, and I want to be friendly, but I realize it's not going to come to any good. So I'm not supposed to use text messages and other forms of electronic direct messaging, i.e. through social media platforms like Facebook instant messaging. So you can't sit there and instant message everybody on Facebook. How long would that take? And tell them that you are a Medicare insurance salesman, because that's breaking some bogus rules that they made up. The prohibition on making unsolicited contact does not extend to email, conventional mail, and other print media, such as advertisements. So you can do that stuff. Now, that's always a lot more expensive to be sending a piece of mail to everybody in the country in the hopes that somebody's going to respond. That's always a little pricey. Here's another page. Sales events, prohibited activity. So if you're going to hold a sales event where a lot of people are going to come listen to you pontificate and spout your Medicare knowledge, there are some rules, and they send secret shoppers to these things to make sure that you follow the rules. So when you're having one of these things, the agent who's in charge may not require the beneficiaries to provide contact information, such as a prerequisite for as a prerequisite for attending the event. In other words, when they come in the door, you can't throw them out if they refuse to give you their contact information. It has to be completely voluntary. This includes requiring an email address or other contact information as a condition to RSVP for an event online or through the mail. Sign-in sheets must be labeled as optional. You've got to write the word optional. Well, you know, if I see a sign-in sheet, I already know it's optional. So they're assuming that the beneficiaries are kind of, I don't want to say retarded, let's just say stupid, because you don't have to sign a sign-in sheet if you don't want to sign a sign-in sheet, and nobody can make you do that. So you're not allowed to conduct health screenings or any other activities that could give the impression of cherry picking. Well, I have addressed this before. The government idiots that make up these rules don't seem to understand that there is no insurance agent in the world that is going to turn down any prospect. So the giving the appearance of cherry picking, meaning I'm going to take these clients, but I'm not going to accept these clients over here because their money is no good. Well, that's just wrong, because health insurance agents are going to, they're going to go through cemeteries and see if they can't get dead bodies to sign up. They're a lot like some cities, registrars are prowling through the cemeteries, and your insurance salesmen are going to be looking for clients anywhere they can. Nobody in their right mind is going to do any cherry picking, so it's stupid to have a rule against it. You cannot provide meals or multiple snacks or refreshments bundled and provided as if it were a meal, regardless of the value. And I mentioned this to Randy. We were having a quiz one time, and I said, what if we served a plate of turkey at our sales event? And would that be permissible? And Randy correctly said, yes, that would be permissible. And I said, well, now what if we had some potatoes also? Would that be permissible? He said, yeah, but then you couldn't serve the turkey. And then I said, well, what if we had gravy and stuffing?
And you're making me hungry. You're killing me over here.
He was drooling on his desk, and he would say, yes, let's have all that stuff. But in reality, that is verboten. You are not allowed to serve a bunch of snacks that when you put them together looks like a meal. And that's what I was doing with my turkey and potato construction there. It started to look like Thanksgiving dinner. So you can't do that. You cannot use information collected for raffles and drawings for other purposes. I don't know exactly what that means. Unsolicited. These don't have to make sense. They come from the government.
You're killing me, Doug. I don't know who sits up there in Washington or wherever they sit and dreams this crap up.
Well, the average government employee is making over $100,000 a year. So we know who it is. It's somebody with a big old smile on their face saying, I got to justify my earnings this year. Let's see. Unsolicited contacts. Example number one. Agent Jackson is involved in the health fair that offers a raffle. After the fair, Agent Jackson takes the telephone numbers on the raffle entries and calls each individual to see if they would be interested in discussing the Medicare Advantage plans. Of course, they rear their ugly heads again. Agent Jackson has violated the prohibition on unsolicited contacts. Now, here's example two. Agent Lopez's aunt tells him that her neighbor was recently telling her that she was having trouble understanding her Medicare choices and wanted to know if it made sense to enroll in a Medicare Advantage plan. His aunt offers the neighbor's telephone number, but Agent Lopez gives his aunt his card and says that the neighbor should call him instead. Agent Jackson has wisely avoided. Now, okay, here's your government at work. It's Agent Lopez, Agent Lopez, Agent Lopez, and then they accidentally used Agent Jackson at the end. So it starts out being Agent Lopez and his aunt talking about her neighbor, and Agent Lopez provides the aunt with a card and says, give it to your neighbor, and so I won't violate the rule against unsolicited contact. And then the last sentence in this thing says, Agent Jackson has wisely avoided making an unsolicited call based on a referral. Well, it wasn't Agent Jackson. He's the guy that screwed up in example one. Agent Lopez was the guy in example two. It was like Goofus and Gallant. Did you ever read Boys Life magazine?
No, I never. Yeah, I was going to say, when you were reading that story, I thought we were talking about Agent Lopez here. Now, all of a sudden, Agent Jackson, you know, rears his ugly head. So obviously, Mr. and Mrs. Proofreader at the government aren't doing their job.
Well, they're probably the same people who misspell the Centers for Medicare and Medicaid Services acronym, because it should have two M's in it, but they constantly spell it with one M, CMS. And it's supposed to be CMMS because it's got two M words in it. So that's completely ridiculous. How are we doing on time? I'm having so much fun, and it hadn't occurred to me that we might be running out of time.
We're out.
Oh, geez. Well, I've got a whole lot of this stuff left. I hope the audience liked it because I don't plan on wasting it. I'm not throwing this stuff away until I use it for podcast content.
So we're gonna leave this as kind of a hanging chad, you know, a cliffhanger. Tune back into our next podcast to hear the rest of this idiocy that is called government documentation and testing for Medicare disadvantage authorization.
And be amazed and enthralled that I actually passed all the exams based on this stuff, because
you know
they weren't designed for normal human brains.
I think you could take most of that stuff, Doug, and I think you could go on stage, you know, and actually try out your hand at being a stand-up comedian.
Well, let's give it a try sometime. It's got to pay better than podcasting.
Oh, anyway, dear.
People should go to Amazon.com and buy Medicare for the Lazy Man, simplest and easiest guide ever, in their favorite form, paperback or Kindle or audiobook, any one of those three, or each one each, maybe.
Yes, absolutely. I highly recommend it. I order them up every year when they come out new, and I hand them out to my friends and relatives. And many of, I kid you not, many of them have come back and said, I'm really glad you gave me that book because it really gave me a different perspective on why I want to stay away from Medicare disadvantage plans like the plague.
Well, that's what the book was designed for, and I'm glad it's serving that purpose. So anyway, thank you for making our podcast sound so much better than it would if I were just working by myself.
Well, you're welcome. And we need to thank the audience. As always, they have been very patient. They've been quiet. They've been ruly as opposed to unruly. We didn't have to kick out anybody.
They've been very gruntled as opposed to disgruntled.
Disgruntled as opposed to gruntled. And then there's the infamous versus infamous.
Right.
So that's
flammable versus inflammable, unflammable.
Yes, that's one of those interesting combinations of words that depending on how you put the accent on it, it's whether you mean it's a good famous or a bad famous.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, I know that person probably has a government job right now, proofreading important documents.
Oh, I know. Well, thanks everybody for joining us. We certainly appreciate it. You have just spent about 32 and a half minutes with Doug Jones around the metaphorical coffee table. And he is also the CIO for Medicare for the LazyMan.com, as well as the anti-insurance guy.
I think I got a promotion in there somewhere.
Yeah.
Bye-bye. Bye-bye, everybody.